All right, we're back today. We've got somebody in the house today. We got Alexander Brown. He is a producer, musician, creative force in the business, signed to Strange Famous Records. How you doing today, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. So I wanted to reach out because you're on, you know, Strange Famous Records. That's Sage Francis's record label. How did you guys get into contact with each other?
I've been a big fan of Sage since high school, so I've always listened to his music. You know, him, Alias, Ant from Atmosphere, all these people all pretty much inspired me to want to get into actual music production. I played guitar like all my life, in and out through skateboarding and everything. But they kind of like opened my eyes on like, you know, how hip hop could be. And, you know, they always had different kinds of beats that I was always really interested in. It didn't sound like everything else. So that's pretty much how I wanted to start producing. And then I went to school for audio engineering. And through that is when I learned production. Like, after I graduated, I didn't have anything to like practice mixing on. So I started making my own music and practicing mixing on that. And then I slowly got better and better and better. And I just kept at it. And then like one day, a buddy of mine tweeted a SoundCloud link to Sage. It was like a beat that I made. And he DM'd me and was like, "Hey, do you think I could get that? And, you know, and you know, maybe take it off SoundCloud, whatever." And I'm like, yeah. So I gave it to him. And then we just kept talking. And then I kept making more beats. And then one day I made a beat and sent it to him. And then like, as soon as I sent it to him, I was like, "Oh man, why did I send that beat to him? I didn't like that one. I didn't really like it." But then like a week or so later, he turned that beat into Grace off of Copper Gone. And that like blew me away. Like it completely changed my whole perception of the beat, and I kind of understood it a little more.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we just kept in contact after Copper Gone and Grace, and you know, I'm always sending him stuff, asking him what he thinks. And then for like a short amount of time, I kind of stopped producing. I kind of got discouraged through getting tinnitus, and you know, and then I kind of forced myself to start doing it again. And that's how I made the Alex Brown project. And I emailed it to him, and he was like, "Hey, man, I really like this. Like, do you think I could put it out through Strange Famous?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure. And then, you know, that kind of jump started me again, and started like really hammering out beats. I made Glow Kid, and, you know, rest is kind of history.
Yeah. And what was, so going back to your childhood, when did you get first interested in music in general? Do you remember having that moment where you thought, "I like this stuff"?
It was always in my life. Like, since, I don't know, as early as I can remember, like 5 years old or so, my dad always listened to music. My dad loved like Black Sabbath and Pink Floyd and stuff like that. And he was always like, for Christmas, he would just get me CDs of music that he liked. So I would always listen to stuff. And then like, you know, a lot of times like MTV, VH1, stuff like that would be my babysitter, you know. And, you know, that's, oh, and I don't know if you remember this, the Box music channel. You remember that?
Oh yeah. That was short lived though. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, that specific channel really got me into hip hop music. Like I heard like Cream from Wu-Tang first there. I heard like The World Is Yours from Nas and a bunch of other stuff. And I just like really got obsessed with like the storytelling aspect of it, and like understanding like a different side to life.
Yeah.
So I just started buying CDs and all. Like, I think my first hip hop album I bought was No Way Out from Bad Boy, Puff Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Biggie and everything. Yeah, that was like my first one I bought. And then, you know, then Illmatic and, you know, bunch of other stuff. I got a whole CD book of my old shop.
What was your first setup when you decided, well, I want to start making music? What kind of equipment were you working with, and what was your kind of strategy?
So the first equipment I had like a laptop that my school gave me, and my Fender guitar.
Nice, it's beautiful.
And a really cheap MIDI controller and Logic Pro, and I just fiddled with that until I could figure out something with it.
And you did, though. You cranked out some demos and stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, I kept making music, and I linked up with two dudes in Orlando. They went to the same school as I did, and you know, we kind of like practiced with each other and made music with each other. Like, they would rap, I would make the beats, and we just kept doing that for forever. And that's how I got into it.
What's your go-to for instrumentation, whether or not you're looking for samples or you're actually trying to lay down something? What's some of your go-to instruments that you like hearing on beats?
I like horns, piano. I guess a lot of times I just search for like if I'm digging around on records, I'm just looking for something that like connects with how I'm feeling at the moment. Like, if I'm going through something, you know, I'll try and look for a record that, kind of symbolizes how what I'm going through at that moment. And then I'll just play with it until something comes out. Like, a lot of times I'll chop it up and I pitch it down a lot.
Mm.
And then I'll just play with it and see what happens. And then I'll add my own instruments to it. Or like, I'll look on another record and find like, okay, this sample doesn't have any horns. Let me find a horn that's in the same key as this.
Right.
And I'll play with the pitch again and see what else I can get with it. And
do you find that you got encyclopedic knowledge of your own record collection, where you could go and get yourself a violin or find yourself a saxophone pretty quickly?
No, I don't have that good of a memory. I just pull like random stuff, like, you know, whatever. I'll grab a record and like, oh, this looks cool. Maybe this has something on it.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that, though. I really wish I could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it would take a lot of patience to like sit here and like write down a list of every single record I got and like the key elements and all that. That would be the only way that I could do it, but I don't have that kind of patience.
Yeah, yeah. I think sometimes you just remember, oh yeah, like El Condor Pasa on Simon and Garfunkel, that's got a mandolin or something, and you just remember these things. But
I guess some things I can remember that, like some things, but most of the time, no, I'm not even like thinking about it like that. I'm just staying on course with the vibe I'm feeling, and just whatever happens.
Well, you sound like you're a true artist in that way then. But you look, you also spent time in LA. I remember we were talking about that before we started, but you started in coming up in LA, and you got to meet some interesting characters. What was it like being in LA, and how long were you there?
It was cool, man. I literally like, before I went there, I was back here in Baltimore, and you know, I wasn't really doing too much. I was making music with my friend Cubby Bear, rest in peace. And you know, I was just here making music with him and didn't really have nothing going on. And then my friends that I met in Orlando, they contacted me and said that they had like some room in their house in LA if I wanted to come out. I'm like, all right, I'll come out. So I just like saved up $2,000 and packed everything in my little car and drove across country and moved there. I didn't have a game plan or anything. I just went. And then a buddy of mine he used to work in a studio in Atlanta, and Rodney Jerkins was there working, and he overheard Rodney talking about how he needed engineers in LA. So then he, my friend told him about me, and then he got his email, and then I sent my resume to him, and then I got in for an email. I got in for an interview, and sorry, one sec. I got in for an interview, and I got the job to be an intern, and yeah, I interned with him for a while. I did pretty much everything with him. Like I did a lot of like studio finances, sending equipment out to get repaired, recording, assisting in mixing, creating like workflow for all the other interns, and doing interviews for new interns, and then I guess after a year and some change, I left there. Kind of had some differences, so I didn't really want to be over there anymore, so I left. And then I went on tour for a while.
You went on tour? How was that? Where did you go?
It was good, man. I went on tour with this dude, Precise, the first time around. I was DJing for him. We were on tour with Little Debbie. And we pretty much went everywhere, except for like northeast states and like Alaska and Hawaii. We didn't go to those places, but that was fun. And then I went again with John Connor, and then I went again with my buddy Cap Callis.
Of all the places that you've been to LA, and then you went on tour. You get to see all this stuff on tour, and you're originally from the East Coast. Was there where is? Do you think there's some interesting people or interesting culture? Did you remember, or natural beauty? How did it compare? Like I know that, and the West Coast is always different from the East Coast. So
yeah,
did you have culture shock?
A little bit, I did. When I was on tour, I loved New Mexico.
Like, really?
I thought it was so beautiful, like everything what? Around it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I just felt good there. Like I just felt good. I don't know, like I didn't have any achy joints or nothing, and I felt like the air was clear.
Well, I think the dryness is good for joints, right? Like people, that's why old people go to the desert. That's why they retire down there, because they're like.
Sure. Yeah. No, I don't know. I just felt good there. I just felt like a good place. I didn't really want to leave.
Yeah.
But I don't know. LA was cool too. I think after the second year, I was like, all right. It's a little too much. Like,
let's be honest, LA is overwhelming.
Yeah, it's the traffic was crazy. Like a place that it should only take me 10 minutes to get to, like takes like almost 2 hours sometimes.
I hated that. The traffic, like to be on the Ventura Freeway for like hours and hours. Yeah. And like, I like to be in places where I can get, if I'm like overwhelmed by the city, I can just pull off and be at a park or something, or so, you know, but LA, it's just like, it never ends. You can't get out of town so easily.
Yeah. It was crazy, man. And like where I interned, the studio had moved to Calabasas. So then I'd have to go from the Valley to Calabasas every single day, except for Sundays. It was too much.
Well, you know now that basically you can't, if you want to make music, you can do it from anywhere in the world, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Do it anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you think you'd move to New Mexico?
Maybe if I had an opportunity to. I don't know. My family's over here, and, you know, I spent enough time like away from home, you know, and I think as long as I have family here, I'm going to stay here and be with them.
Well, you got a nice setup. I don't know why you don't need to leave anyway. It looks like you got a really nice studio going.
It's in my basement. You know, I made this my hideaway and workshop.
Yeah.
I don't have any friends or anything. I don't go out. I work my two jobs and then I come home in here.
Oh, you work two jobs as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, dude, what are you doing?
I'm a line cook. And I work at a little smoke shop. I pretty much work every single day, unless if, you know, the smoke shop's pretty lenient on, like, when I want to have time to myself, you know, I'll just say I want to have this week, and I'm like, all right, cool, no worries. You know, they're really cool about that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, you're definitely a musician because we've all had those jobs.
Yeah.
I had 12 jobs in 1 year one time.
Damn.
Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah. I hated them all.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I guess in 2019, I was job hopping like crazy. I just couldn't find like a good non toxic environment to work in.
Yeah. You know, if you could, would you live in the cabin in the woods, or would you want to live like?
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I think about that every day. It's crazy you said that, because I literally think about that every day. Like,
well, humanity is at a really funny point right now, and it really seems like we're getting sick of each other, and everybody's feeling the same way. They say, I wish I had a cabin in the woods as well, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, Baltimore has been getting really nuts too lately. Like, you can't really go into the city without, like, expecting some kind of, like, situation happening. You know, like, you always got to be prepared for something. And I don't even go in there anymore. The only time I went to the city was, like, last year when I wanted to get a record, and I drove all the way to this record shop to get one of the Personal Journals records from Sage. I went all the way out there just to get that, and that was the only time I went there in, like, the past 5 years. 4 or 5 years.
What's it feel like going back into the Babylonian city after so long of being out?
I don't like it, man. Like, I mean, it's cool for certain things. You know, it's cool to go back to my old neighborhood once in a while. But I grew up there, and I just don't have, like, I just don't feel like there's a reason for me to go back in there. It's just, it's too hectic. It's just not who I am anymore.
Do you start thinking about, do you like going for nature walks and stuff in your old age?
Yeah. Yeah. Really? I got a state park down the street from me.
You're lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go there with my friend, Rachel, go walk around or something. There's like a really cool waterfall there. Like, I don't know how tall it is. It's not that tall, but it's nice. It's nice and peaceful.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. There is nothing more wonderful than nature and especially times like this, but I think there's nothing more like punk rock or like, you know, cooler than saying fuck you to society and going out in the woods and just hanging out, burning one, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I love.
So what's next for you? You got some records coming out. You're going to be doing some producing. You're going to be doing some touring. What do you have anything on the horizon?
Yeah, I did a whole album with Meter Maids and Buddy Peace. I love that album so much. Like, we had such a good time making that. We built up such a strong brotherhood in the process, friendship. I love those guys to death. But yeah, we made a whole record. It's fucking beautiful. And then I got some stuff going on with Cast One. And I don't know, who knows? I definitely feel the itch in me to make another new project too. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's good to always stay busy. I mean, you're a creative guy and your work is really good. Like the stuff you put together is wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
appreciate it.
So what are there contemporary people that are in the industry now or that you also kind of are listening to, maybe bands or other musicians that you think are hot right now?
Honestly, haven't really been listening to much music. I've been so focused in, like, whenever I have free time, which was pretty rare for a long time. Whenever I had free time, I was just focusing on this Meter Maids album. We've been working on it for a long time. So, like, yeah, any free time I get, I would just be working on that or listening to it on my ride to work and making notes on my phone about the mixes, what I think I should do. Yeah, just kind of really obsessing over that.
Do you ever feel like there's a moment when you've listened to a track that you're producing too much and that you need to walk away from it and come back?
Yeah. If I make a good mix and I know it's good and I listen to it and all this different types of speakers, and then I walk away for a little bit and I keep listening to it over and over again and I start picking it apart again, and then like convincing myself that it's garbage. You gotta do it over again. That's when I'm like, all right, stop listening to it for like a week, and then, you know, go back to it and see how
that's
it is.
A familiar thing that happens to a lot of people. Yeah. Yeah. It happened to me a lot, to where then all of a sudden the mix is just completely out of control. You put too much compression. You've ruined the track because you're sitting there tweaking on everything a little more of this, a little more of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always like getting ahead of the people who are doing the producing, because I think it's an interesting, you know, you're a chemist, basically. You're some kind of chef. You're creating something with all these ingredients, and it's sort of artistic and beautiful, and it's wonderful to see a project. So you use Logic. You use MPC. You also have a bass guitar. Are you pretty good at the bass?
I'm good enough to where I can play the parts that I want to play. Like, I'll sit there and listen to a beat and playing around with the bass, and then I'll figure out, all right, this note works. Let me do something cool with it.
Yeah.
Same thing with guitar. I mean, when I was younger, I used to know a lot more about guitar, and I used to play really well. But now, like, I spent a lot of years too skateboarding, and I kind of, for a little bit in my childhood, I gave up playing guitar and just focused on skateboarding. But
both equally good things to do with your time, by the way. Totally awesome things to do.
Yeah.
So, but if you could, you had magical powers and you could really be excellent at any musical instrument, what would you pick?
Probably, I'd want to be really, really good at playing piano, because then I could take what I know from playing piano and, you know, use it for different types of MIDI instruments and make it sound like I know basic knowledge of like music theory and, you know, how to build chords and stuff like that. But I can't play like a classically trained pianist or anything like that. Like, I wish I could be able to do that.
Would you do classical or would you do jazz? What would you prefer? Why not probably, both?
Probably jazz, but, you know, I would like to do both.
Yeah.
But I like jazz type samples a lot too. So like,
yeah.
You know.
Did you ever hear that Guru's Jazzmatazz album? That was like groundbreaking when it came out. And then since then, there's been all this. Like, now I can just go type in jazz beats on YouTube and there's just this endless supply of really nice kind of down-tempo shit.
Yeah, I know. I always look that up. Like, you know, when I'm just chilling and don't really want to listen to any of my own stuff, I'll go on YouTube and listen to that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of inspiration once in a while.
Yeah. You got to stay inspired, man. Keep your gas tank full.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on the prize. Well, look, come back anytime when the album comes out, or anytime you want to talk, man, I'm here. I'm open to talk to anybody. You're a nice guy. You're a hell of a talented human being.
Thank you.
Wonderful to talk to as well.
Yeah, man. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, let's cut it off to everybody out there, and then we'll chat afterwards. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Alexander Brown, he is going to be coming out with a new album with the Meter Maids. We're going to be linking that in the description. Strange Famous Records. Sage Francis put me up to it, linked us together, and I'm just so grateful to get to speak with you, man. So, yeah, man. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye.